Welcome to Connection Point, the podcast of West Kern Christian Center. For more information regarding the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit our website at wkcconnect.org. And now for the message.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the podcast. This is Randy Bunch, the pastor of West Kern Christian Center. We have something a little bit special for you over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be playing for you an interview that I did a while back on the radio, KERI, out of Bakersfield, California. I was interviewed by Caitlin Hashem, who is the assistant to the president of Summit Bible College. Not long ago, I began serving as an instructor there. I actually stepped in the middle of the quarter and taught the last 4 weeks of an 8-week course called Healing and Wholeness. And for the textbook, I primarily used my book called The Gospel Saving Power. We talk quite in depth in that book on the subject of healing. And so I had spoken with Caitlin. She had asked me to come on the radio, and we decided we would talk on the subject of healing. And so we had a great exchange and really covered the subject quite thoroughly on a lot of different levels. I just thought the interview went really well. We certainly enjoyed it, and we've got really great response from it. So I checked with Caitlin to see if it would be okay if we would rebroadcast that interview on our podcast. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing part one and then later part two, and we trust it will be a blessing to you. Before we get to that radio interview, I just want to give you a heads up about a couple of things. First and foremost, if you are in the Taft Bakersfield area, if you do not have a local church and you come over to the Taft area, we want to invite you to join us for services every Sunday and Wednesday evening, Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. at West Kern Christian Center at 1006 Street. In downtown Taft. We would love for you to join us. You can also check us out on the web at wkcconnect.org. Again, that's wkcconnect.org. And last time we did one of these Connection Point updates, we made mention of the fact that on our website, it's very resource intensive. There's just tons of materials available free of charge for you, the listener on the radio, of course, anyone who gets on the website. In addition to the materials on the website directly, there's links to other resources we have. For example, we have our podcast, of course, that you're listening to now. But in addition, we have a blog. I write a blog at least once a week. We do a new blog entry. We also write for the Driller, the Midway Driller here, the local paper, put an article in the paper every Friday. But also that becomes a blog. And so we love to write. We do a lot of writing. And we trust that those would be a blessing to you as well. So if you go to the media page of our website, again, that's wkcconnect.org, you'll find a lot of resources. We have also our healing school online. You can listen to those messages. All of this is free of charge. All the services that we preach every Sunday and Wednesday are also there, available to you along with this radio broadcast. We're going to re-air anything we do that we can make available to those that are either members of our church. Maybe they miss a Sunday, want to listen to the message, or maybe they just want to listen to a message again. Or for any of our friends who want to just jump on the website and be fed, we have these materials available. We have friends all over the world who invite us to come and preach at different places. We hope to go overseas next year. We have a special missions trip we kind of have planned on the back burner. We plan on going and visiting an orphanage that we support in the nation of Pakistan. There's a lot of things that we're excited about that God is doing. And by the way, on the website, one of the things that I wanted to bring your attention to, if you will go to our website, you will find a brand new page, and it is on the orphanage that we support in Pakistan. We have the privilege of being a part of the support of an orphanage in the nation of Pakistan. And I say part of the support because obviously the people that are there are, they're the ones who have boots on the ground and doing the daily work. But we have a privilege of helping to support financially this orphanage in Pakistan. It is a Christian orphanage, and we have the opportunity of sending money to help feed these kids. We're actually the sole outside support for this orphanage. So as far as we're concerned, they're our kids. And we partner with the pastor there and the ministry team, wonderful people who are winning their nation for Christ in the nation of Pakistan. But we put a donate link on that page right under the connect link. If you scroll down, you'll see Orphans of Pakistan. And if you want to give, you can give on our PayPal account. Just hit the donate button, and anything you give, all you have to do, put in the comment When you give, there's a section where you can make a comment just before you approve your gift. All you have to do is say orphans, Pakistan, orphans of Pakistan, give this to the kids, whatever you say along those lines, we'll know that you mean to give that to the kids, and we want to be a blessing to them. They have so little. They're taken care of very well in the orphanage, but compared to the standard of living that our children enjoy, for example, in America, they get by on very, very little. So it's literally the least we can do to put food in their mouths and supply them with warm blankets in the winter and a means to help keep them cool in the summer, just the basic necessities. We do what we can, but if you want to be a part of that, we've just felt we want to put that out there for others to be a part of this ministry. We also have a kind of a new thing that we're doing here locally called PACS, P-A-C. Yes, we call it Practical Acts of Compassion, where we reach out and just touch families that are hurting in our community. And we're trying to do things to reach out to them as well, particularly during this holiday season. We fed a number of families over the Thanksgiving holiday, and we tend to do more during the Christmas holiday as well. So if you want to partner with us, you can donate to the ministry. Again, you can give to the orphans, or if you go to the contact page, or no, I'm sorry, it is on the Connect page, just a little bit below the orphan link, there's also a donate online link, and you can give to the church and help us reach the community as well. And again, if you're looking for a home church, we encourage you to be a part of what God is doing at West Kern Christian Center. Again, that's 1006 Street in downtown Taft, and the website is wkcconnect.org. Again, that's wkcconnect.org. Our mission statement is connecting people to His purpose. We want to see you live a fulfilled, fruitful, and significant life. And one way you can do that is partnering together with others that are doing the work of God. And we would love for you to partner with us. Well, we hope that you enjoy the first half of this radio interview I did with Caitlin Hashem. We believe that it went well, that God blessed. And we believe that also as we communicated the truths of God's word, that people were touched and healed as well. Don't forget, you can email us at info@wkcconnect.org and give us your prayer requests. Let us know if the broadcast or the podcast is a blessing to you. We would love to hear from you. God bless you. We love you, and enjoy the broadcast.
Hi, this is Caitlin Hashem coming at you from the Cary Studio. This is 1410 AM Cary, the Christian station. Real, deep, and true. I'm so happy to be in the studio today. I have somebody very special here with me, and I actually just met him last week, and he is teaching a class at Summit Bible College, which, by the way, this is the Summit Bible College broadcast, if I didn't say that already. And his name is Pastor Randy Bunch. Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Caitlin. How are you doing?
Good. Great to see you, and great to be here to talk about the Word of God with you.
Amen.
So before we get into introducing Pastor Randy on a deeper level, I just want to let you listeners know, those of you who might not have ever listened to this show before, we're live every Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock. This is 1410 AM, Cary, the Christian station, and I'm Caitlin Hashem. I'm the host of the show. Each week I have the amazing opportunity of having people who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord in the studio with me, and we just talk about different subjects in the Word. We have Christian counselors on the show. We have evangelists on the show, teachers from the college, graduates of the college, all people who are in ministry, and we just talk about the Lord, and we talk about identity in Christ. We talk about the nature of God, the character of God, and really our goal for you is to come out of this experience knowing God better and knowing who you are better and having the tools to walk a life of victory. And so I pray that this show is blessing you. As I always say, please give me feedback. I really look forward to feedback on the show because I don't really have a way of gauging my audience and I don't know who's listening. So thank you for those who do communicate with me on that. But if you're listening today and you feel led, please send us an email at info@summitbiblecollege.com and let us know what you think of the show. And any constructive feedback is also helpful. So with that said, quickly, I want to give you just a quick introduction of what's going on at Summit Bible College. We're in the middle of our fall quarter right now, and our winter quarter begins January 4th. It's a very exciting quarter, and we're prepping for that right now. So we are taking an enrollment. We have a special going on right now that if you provide 5 references, you get half off on your down payment, which is just a phenomenal deal. And when I say references, what I mean is if you can provide us with people who would potentially be interested in the college, people who I can call and introduce myself to, people who I could pray for over the phone, those are the people that we want on those lists. So if you want to take advantage of that offer and if you want to get equipped for ministry, please do consider calling us at 661-328-1151. You can go online at summitbiblecollege.com. We have a ton of information there, and you can also download our catalog, which gives you the vision of the college and what we offer and who we are. And I'm telling you, right now is the time, people, to get equipped for ministry. It is the time to have those practical tools to go out and get people saved and bring people the kingdom of God. Jesus said when he walked the earth that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and hello, we are walking with the kingdom of heaven in our bellies. We're walking, we're changing the atmosphere. It is time right now for you to get equipped. Christian counselors, those of you who are listening right now who have a heart for Christian counseling, it's time for you to get equipped beyond theory, okay? Maybe you went to a state college, maybe you studied counseling at Cal State University, and nothing against Cal State University, but you know what you need? You need an impartation from the Spirit of God, and you need an understanding of the things of the Spirit of God. And so this is time for you, Christian counselors, to get equipped in the ministry of biblical counseling. People don't need theory. They don't need to know more about, you know, so much about how their mind works. You know, that's great. There's a mental side of all of us, but people need to understand how the Spirit of God works. And so I just know that you're out there right now, Christian counselors, and it's your time to get equipped. So call us at 661-328-1151. So, Pastor Randy, hi.
Hey.
So, I would like for you to take just a few minutes to tell the listeners a little bit about you. And before you start on your testimony, why don't you talk about how you got connected with the Bible College and what you're doing right now at Summit?
Yeah, that was kind of amazing, actually. I have a dear friend who works for the county, literally in the building right across the street from Summit. I've literally known him all my life. And he and I grew up in the same church together over in Taft. Don't hold that against me. But anyway, we both hail from Taft. And one day we were talking, and we ended up talking about history, actually. We were just talking about, actually, 18th century Great Britain and how the revivals of John and Charles Wesley really saved that nation from moral decay. And I had been reading some books about it. I'm just pouring all this knowledge out. And he said, Randy, you really need to be an instructor, a professor somewhere. You know, and he mentioned Summit. He had mentioned Summit Bible College to me before. And so, you know, I don't know what their needs are, if they need a professor at this time. But I thought, well, you know, I just need to go ahead and send in an application and just kind of connect and see what goes on. And so I did. And then I called back a few days later and ended up getting a hold of a friend of mine that I knew from school back in the day. And then he told me that, you know, Dr. Victor would get in touch with me, which he did. We had a great conversation. And then the next thing I know, you're calling me and asking me if I could come and teach on the subject of healing. And what a great opportunity. That's kind of right in my wheelhouse. And so I was very excited about the opportunity to teach on healing. And here I am.
Yay! So you came mid-quarter,
yeah,
which is a little bit different. The professor who was teaching before laid a special foundation. He's a missionary to Jerusalem,
yeah,
and so his schedule needed to kind of be open,
right,
and you just came at the perfect time.
It worked out great, and the subject matter couldn't be more appropriate for me. It's something I love very much, and so I'm glad to be a part of Summit.
That's wonderful. So thank you for saying that. Now, what about you? When did you become a Christian? Tell me about your journey a little
bit. I had the wonderful privilege of being raised by two very devoted Christian people. I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church over in Taft, California, and grew up loving the Lord, knowing the Lord, getting born again at a very early age. But like a lot of us, you know, kind of went my own way for a little while during my high school years and so forth. And then God just kind of gave me a real wake-up call, you know, in my late teens. And on my 18th birthday, I preached my second message and surrendered my heart to ministry and kind of rededicated my life. And then it was around that same time, just a little later, that I had a real encounter with God. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that really kind of changed everything. and the direction of my life, the course of my life. I knew I was going to be in ministry, but then the whole, I guess you could say, direction of that changed. I knew that I was going to be kind of heading into a full gospel context of ministry. And when I experienced that wonderful experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I knew that there were other things about the Word of God that I just did not know, that had just never been kind of put on my spiritual plate, if you will. And so I began to feed on wonderful teachings from a lot of great leaders in the body of Christ that brought me into the fuller truths of not only the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, but healing as well. And healing just really became a central feature of our ministry.
That is so great. So tell me what your life was like prior to this infilling of the Holy Spirit. Really, what is the difference of with you now than before?
You know, and that's a great question, because I've often commented on that. It was kind of like my BC and AD. A lot of people, it's their salvation experience. I got saved so young, there wasn't a real dramatic change in my life. In the new birth experience, I knew that something had happened in me, but I'm in second grade. So it's kind of like a story I heard from one evangelist. He said, I got saved at the age of 5, and before that, I lived a life of sin and degradation. So, you know, really, what are you doing when you're 5 years old? So I was very young, you know, second grade. So what's that? You know, maybe 8 years old. So I didn't see the marked change in behavior, because I was already, you know, doing the right things, being a good little kid and all that kind of thing. So when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, that was a very substantial change. And I don't mean change like people looking at me. My hair didn't change color. I didn't suddenly grow 5 inches, but it was an internal change. I knew that I had somehow been, for lack of a better term, immersed might be a good word, deeper into the presence and reality of the things of God. It just became so much more real to me. And then, of course, the advantage of being able to pray in my prayer language and just touch God in another dimension and become aware of spiritual things on a completely different level that I had never really been aware of before. And then, after that, going to a charismatic full gospel Bible school, even taking me deeper in, just a wonderful season and time in my life.
Wow. So the Lord gave you a word shortly after you got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And what was that word that he gave you?
I had been praying in tongues for just a relatively short period of time, wearing my tongue out, praying in other tongues. It was just such a wonderful experience. I remember waking up the second day after the experience, waking up praying in other tongues. And I had been listening to some people that were talking about, you know, how they would, at times, the Lord would give them the interpretation of their prayers. You know, 1 Corinthians, actually in chapter 14 says, you know, wherefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. And you can do that in your own devotional life. And so I was praying in tongues one day, and I had been praying along those lines, and I just felt something coming up. And I began to speak out in English what I believe the Spirit of God had me praying about over the last, you know, 30 minutes or so. And a number of things came forth by the Spirit of God that were really relevant to that moment in time. I couldn't tell you any of them from memory, but there was one thing in particular that became a real defining word to my life, and I still remember it exactly the way the Spirit of God said it to me then. He said, in the last days, the ministry of divine healing will come under tremendous attack, and I've called you to stand in the defense of that ministry. Now, what he wasn't saying, I'm not calling you to stand in the defense of ministers, per se, but the ministry itself. In other words, the biblical foundation, the truths of the Word of God regarding divine healing, I've called you to stand in the defense of those truths. And so that's been a real central feature of my ministry. And I find that when I get really rolling on it and preaching and teaching on the subject of divine healing, I'm often like a lawyer presenting my case to a jury. And I think maybe because of the denominational context from which I came, I know people need solid biblical answers. They don't want just, well, if my pastor were here, he could tell you. They need to know what the Word of God says for themselves. They need that sure foundation to undergird any experience that they have. So that was a very fundamental part of me really coming into the reality of this, was learning the Word of God and getting a sure foundation of God's Word in my heart regarding those truths.
Yes, and amen to that. So you mentioned this whole need for a foundation, a biblical foundation.
Yeah.
And so just to give a quick plug again to Summit Bible College listeners, I'm telling you, that is the place for you to come and get that foundation. It's a place where you can come and you can learn and you can grow in the ministry that the Lord has given you. You wrote a book, and I'm going to read a scripture that you wrote in that you read in class the other night. And I was only able to sit in for the first 45 minutes. Regretfully, but you wrote a book, and I want to kind of open up with this verse, and I want you to tell us, how did this book come about?
Yep.
So before you do that, let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16.
Yeah.
For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was on radio in the California Central Coast, and I was doing a series of teachings at that time. Actually, I was doing these, taping these. Normally what I would do on the radio broadcast, I'd get an excerpt of a message I'm preaching on Sunday, and that, you know, and put an intro and exit on it. But this series I had done kind of live, if you will, and it was really on the subject of salvation. And this scripture that you just read, Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so that kind of became the, I guess you could call it the main text of the series. And basically I was teaching on healing, and I was talking about the fact that the Greek word salvation, the Greek word soteria, has a much broader meaning than just spiritual salvation, forgiveness, the new birth, which is the primary context which most of us are familiar with that word. In other words, I even asked the students the other night, you know, if I say salvation, what do you think? And they, of course, all say, well, forgiveness, the new birth, going to heaven, I think is what you said. And that's the context most of us are comfortable thinking about salvation. But if you think about even the English word salvation, you can be saved from financial disaster. You can have your marriage saved. You can be saved from drowning in a lake. And I mean, all of these are an appropriate use or context of the word salvation depending on how you're using it. So the Greek word soteria, or the verb form of the word sozo, means saved, are used throughout the scriptures not only to refer to spiritual salvation and the new birth, like they are in Romans 10:9-10, famous passage of scripture that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you'll be saved, Greek word sozo, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto soteria, salvation. So that's a spiritual context. But what we began to do is take the students through various passages in the New Testament, a couple in the ministry of Jesus, and then also over one in the epistles, where that word saved or sozo is used very definitely, very explicitly in a physical healing context to show that salvation is not only spiritual, but physical as well. In fact, those very words, even the Greek definition, includes the idea of healing as well as spiritual salvation.
Wow. You know what I just realized? I don't think there are two people that talk faster than you and I do.
Yeah,
you and I are like...
Yeah, kind of.
You know what? But I bet they're catching it. They're catching it. Maybe they could put it on slow-mo motion. That is so funny. But so the book is called The Gospel's Saving Power.
Yeah.
So when was this published?
Well, what happened was I was doing this outreach over in the California Central Coast, and I'm sitting in church here in Bakersfield listening to my pastor preach, and it had come to me a few times, you know, those things you're doing on the Gospel Saving Power, that would make a good little book. I hadn't published a book in 20 years, and it just kept coming to me. And one day, I mean, I guess I was a little slow getting it, so one day I'm sitting in church, and the Lord just speaks to me as clear as a bell and says, I want you to take those messages that you're doing on the radio and put them together in a book and release the book at the time you launched the church. Duh. So it was kind of like he's been telling me this and I wasn't getting it. So I sat down and I pounded that book out probably in a couple months and sent it to the publisher. Actually had a wonderful experience with my publisher, Tim McKittrick. He's actually got his own publishing company now called Timothy Publishing Services out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He works for ORU, but great guy. I did it through another publishing company initially, and then he ended up with the book, and I did a second edition. Actually, that's the first edition you're holding, but I have a second edition now with the updated information of the church we're pastoring now and so forth, and we put a new foreword into it and stuff like that just to kind of update the book. But it kind of all just came together quite well. And then now it's being used in this class. So that's kind of great.
That is so great. So are you able to drop off a big box of these books to the Bible College and we can buy them from you? We want to sell them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'd be happy to do that.
So, yeah, drop off us a big box. We'll pay you. And then we're going to sell these books. You can call us, actually. We'll ship them out. Or
wonderful.
They're probably available on Amazon now.
They are. They're available on Amazon. They're available where I always get my books on Apple iBooks. And then also Barnes & Noble. So you can get them in paperback or the digital version.
They're at Barnes & Noble?
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, you have to get them, I think, online. I doubt they have a lot of copies. You know, not everybody's charging the door for Randy Bunch's book on healing, but they are there. So
I'm going to go there to the Christian book section, and the whole section is going to be your book today. What?
If that happens, then the Red Sea is going to part again.
That is so cool, but it's a really great book, and it's very easy to understand, isn't
good.
It?
I hope so. One of the things that we were sharing the other night, for example, we were using a couple of stories, for example, just to kind of give the audience an idea. You know, we talk about healing being a form of salvation or an aspect of salvation, a dimension of salvation. And we were talking, for example, like the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said she had suffered with this issue for 12 years, had exhausted all her resources and finances on doctors, nothing better, kept growing worse. But then she began to hear about Jesus. And, of course, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Romans 10:17.
That's it. She wasn't listening to a gospel message, but she was hearing good news. And that good news inspired her faith. And the Bible said she began to say, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And that worked on her so that when Jesus came through town and the crowds are pressing upon him, one translation says, even at the point of suffocation, she made her way through the press, made her way through the crowd, touched him. And when she did, the power of God that was anointing Jesus flowed into her body. She knew she was healed. He knew power had gone out, and he stops the crowd. And he says, who touched me? And of course, everybody's touching him. He's Elvis at this time. He's at the height of his popularity. They're pressing on him. He's on his way to Jairus' house. Everybody wants to touch the man. You know, it's kind of like the president coming through town or something. Everybody wants to touch him. But he knew there was something distinctive about her touch. As we say, sometimes her faith made a demand on the power of God, gave action to the power, the anointing upon his life. And so she fell down, confessed what she had done, and Jesus said the most amazing thing. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Well, that phrase, made you well, is actually a translation of the Greek word sozo. Your faith has saved you. And we see that being used several times in the Gospels. We see it there. We see it in the case of blind Bartimaeus, who, you know, cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus calls him to himself. What would you have me do for you, blind Bartimaeus? He said, I want to receive my sight. And he said, go your way. Your faith has saved you or made you well. Same Greek word, sozo. So again and again, we see people hearing, having faith, acting on their faith, and making a demand on the power of God. And that's exactly what the Bible says about spiritual salvation, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation, deliverance, healing, whatever people need as they express faith in what they believe and what they hear.
That is so great. I was always confused by the teachings that somehow leave out that aspect,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, and I don't know if it just attributes to, you know, our early experiences with the Lord, but yeah. When I got saved when I was 19, I experienced such a radical salvation over my life. At the time, I was just getting off medication for depression, and I'd been diagnosed with ADHD, and my whole life I had all these lies spoken against me, and,
yeah.
And you know, I was just really out of control, and I didn't have any aspect of my life together in any regard, actually, so I was pretty much at my lowest place, and, you know, God just, I read his word, and honestly, I mean, my testimony is as simple as I just experienced the presence of God over myself, and I looked at what his word said, and I must have been on something,
yeah,
with healing, because I just knew,
yeah,
early on when I've had that first encounter that God was capable,
yeah,
of healing me, and not only capable,
yeah,
but that he wanted it.
Well, you know, that's a great observation, because here's the deal. We divide these things up. We say spiritual salvation, healing, inner healing, deliverance. They're really all the same thing. It's deliverance from the power of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave the death blow to the power of sin, releasing us from it judiciously in every respect, eternally, temporally, physically, spiritually. And so all of these things are benefits of the cross. One of the things we do in the book, in fact, is we trace the redemptive name of God, which is Jehovah, Yahweh. We trace it and show the compound covenant-keeping names of God, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Yahweh, all these different, I'm sorry, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, you know, all these different names, each of which reveal a different aspect of God's redemptive disposition or willingness toward us. And Jehovah Rapha is the Lord our healer. He made a covenant with the people, I'll be your healer. Just like he said, I'll be your righteousness, I'll be your Jehovah Tsidkenu. So what we've done in modern theology too oftentimes is we said, yeah, he's still Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's the Lord our righteousness. Yeah, he's Jehovah Shalom, he's the Lord our peace. Yeah, he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. We certainly believe in his indwelling presence. But for some reason or another, when we come over to Jehovah Rapha, we kind of want to do this theological crab walk and sidestep that one. And I think the reason boils down to our experience. I've never heard a good theological answer against divine healing, because the word is full of the truth of divine healing. But what you'll hear are experiential arguments. Well, I prayed for someone and they weren't healed. Or, you know, why wasn't so-and-so, they were a good Christian, they loved God, and they died and weren't healed. Why is that? And sometimes, in fact, we had that question come the other night, kind of in the class. We prayed for someone, we felt we were believing, and we didn't get a result. Well, you know, sometimes we don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret thing belongeth to the Lord. We don't know what's going on always in the lives of people. And sometimes they just haven't had the opportunity to be taught. And so they kind of believe in a general way, but they don't have a real definite faith for it because they've simply not been taught. So one of the things that's my job, I feel, again, in standing in the defense of these truths, is to lay a biblical foundation step by step, brick by brick, so people can see that this isn't just some arbitrary whim of God that he does when he feels like it, or, you know, if you happen to draw the lucky lottery ticket or something like that. And I think another thing we don't understand sometimes is there are different ways in which God heals. Sometimes there'll be a manifestation of the gifts of healings, such as at the Pool of Bethesda, where there was one man healed out of a multitude of blind, halt, impotent, waiting for the moving of the water. Jesus heals one man. Why was that? Well, because as one anointed with the Holy Spirit, he's dependent on the Father. He does what the Father leads him to do, just like we are in our ministry. You know, sometimes, like last night, we had a great healing service at our church, and I probably had 3 or 4 words of knowledge, called people out with different, you know, issues in their life that God wanted to minister healing to. But yet there might very well have been someone there that had another need that I didn't necessarily call out. But that doesn't mean healing doesn't belong to them. It just means that that particular operation didn't address their need at that moment. But healing is still a redemptive right that we can appropriate by faith in what Christ did for us.
Yes. God is not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I was really just amazed when you made a comment in class the other night. You said sickness is part of the death package.
Yeah.
And I just loved your verbiage on that, because I believe that with my whole heart. I believe that we should stand with tenacity.
Yeah.
For the things of God. I'm always reminded of the story of the unjust judge,
right,
of the woman who just would not give up.
Absolutely.
And he was just annoyed with her. He finally gave her away.
Yeah.
I mean, can we just be tenacious like that?
You know, that's one of the things we talked the other night, Christy. You know, Kirsten, we were talking about healing in the class. We were making the point that, you know, all the people that we see, particularly the individual cases of healing, there was times where Jesus healed multitudes of people, but there are 19 individual cases where Jesus healed individuals. And several of those demonstrate a tenacious faith that is just off the charts. The one with the issue of blood is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a woman who, by Jewish law, shouldn't be out in mixed company because she should be sequestered according to the law, because she wasn't supposed to be out there with this kind of particular condition. And yet she makes her way in the press. We see blind Bartimaeus, who kind of shouted down by the crowd, you know, keep silent, be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then there was another case, you might remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus, and she's kind of using the same verbiage, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he kind of blows her off, and he walks away and said, it's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs.
Pause on that for a second, because I have a comment on that. When I was driving to work this morning in preparation of this show today, I'm thinking about all this, and I get this in my mind, okay? I get this in my mind. Healing is the children's bread.
Yeah.
There's something so powerful about that.
Yeah.
Healing is the children's bread.
Yeah.
And that is actually in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. It says, a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. I'm going to read this through.
Yeah.
But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs.
Yeah.
She replied, that's so true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed.
Amen. Yeah. What a powerful story, huh?
That touches me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because you see the exact same verbiage that the blind man used, who was very sincere and truly believed who Jesus was. But here we have a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. And the Syrophoenicians, as I understand, in studying a little bit of their background, they were pretty wicked people. I mean, these were people that had no moral underpinnings. In other words, there was no reason why she would be looking to a Jewish man as some kind of Messiah. So the idea probably is that this was all pretense. This was religious talk. You know, she's just trying to get something for nothing. But Jesus wants to get her more than a healing. He wants to deal with her heart. And so he kind of blows her off. You know, he just kind of says, I'm sorry, but I'm called the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And he's saying exactly what it sounds like. He's saying, you need to realize your undone condition before God. And what she really does is says, you know what, that's right, Lord, truth, Lord, I think is how it says it in another translation. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So she's humbling herself before God now, very genuine. In fact, I think it says she worships him. So she's coming to an absolute acknowledgement of, yes, I'm undone. I don't deserve this. This is not a right that I can claim. But, Lord, I'm here crying out for your mercies. And the tenacity of her faith touched Jesus. And like you said, he wasn't even called to her. That was not a people that he was called to. And yet, in the mercy of God because of the tenacity of her faith. And that just goes to show you that, again, the gifts of the Spirit may be in operation or not. There might be a special move of God or not. But if someone is tenacious in their faith, they can appropriate from God what belongs to them.
Oh, what a great teaching. We have like a minute left on this broadcast. We're going to take a quick 4-minute break. I just wanted to make a quick comment on what you said. I love that you said that the Lord is concerned with the state of her heart. So often us, you know, listeners, you might be people that walk around and you pray for people and you lay hands on people. I know I do. I prayed for a girl in my class, my geography class the other day, and she had chronic headaches. And the next week she came back and she said, I don't have a headache. And it's been months since I haven't had a headache. And I said to her for 2 weeks in a row, I said, I just want you to remember that Jesus healed you and that Jesus, you know, and she has a Catholic background. And my goal for her is to understand where that came from. Yeah. It's not something that I don't want to leave her there.
Right.
I want to introduce the gospel to her.
So
may we remember that as we go about our day, that it's not just about healing. Because if you think about it in that regard, I mean, physically, that's so temporary. It's about the healing of the whole person and that they be redeemed wholly to the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
So this has been so great. We're going to take a quick break, but keep in mind that we are starting our new quarter January 4th, and it's a great time for you to go online at summitbiblecollege.com. Pastor Randy Bunch, whom I have on the show with me now, is going to be teaching in following quarters, so you're going to get more of him if that's what you want. Our wish is your command. But hey, we're going to take a quick break. God bless you. This is 1410 AM, Carry the Christian Station, the Summit Bible College broadcast.
We hope today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Again, to find out more about the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit us at wkcconnect.org. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can email us with your comments, questions, and prayer requests at info@wkcconnect.org. We would love to hear from you.